This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jason DeRusha in for Chad Hartman. I'll be here tomorrow as well. It's 2:10. That's the Linda's construction time. Time to lower your energy bills with new insulation. You're going to need that tonight from listening to Laura's forecast. This is going to be a cold one for sure. We are in the heart of downtown Minneapolis. And here at WCCO Radio, as Omicron cases have dropped, and all of the evidence right now on COVID in Minnesota is good. I know it's something that those of us in the media were... You know, news isn't only the bad stuff, but news is what is new and interesting and surprising. And often that means news is bad, right? Like, it just is. It's a reality. But sometimes I think we're not so good at sharing the good news, especially when it comes to COVID. According to the research from the University of Minnesota that's working with the Met Council and examining what you flush, COVID is significantly down. It's the best real-time data we have because it's pretty much goes in, comes out, and then they test it. It's a little quicker than the vault tests these days, which, you know, you figure there's a lag there between when the virus is in your body and what people choose to test and what don't. So this is, anyway, it's
incredible the things that we've learned over the course of the pandemic that we didn't know before the pandemic. Yeah. But you do stop and wonder at some point, you know, but you keep hearing these stories about testing sewers for COVID numbers. Who was the guy that thought, hey, you know what? You know how we should figure out whether people have COVID or not?
Yeah. Check the poop.
Wouldn't have occurred to me.
Check the sewage.
That's why I'm not doing that job, I guess.
It is actually, it's a rather common surveillance technique used around the world where they check sewage for viral load, so to speak.
I guess.
I don't know. It's so weird.
It is.
It's super
thing.
Weird. Yeah. But things are better than they were. More people are vaccinated. Kids are back in school. But here in Minnesota, there's one thing that hasn't come back, and it's downtown. It's people to work. And maybe it never will. Maybe it never will. And my question to you today is, what responsibility do the big shot companies have? The Ecolab in downtown St. Paul, the Target in downtown Minneapolis, the U.S. Bank, the Wells Fargo. What responsibility do our giant employers have to the community? If you were the CEO, would you bring your people back to work? 651-461-9226. I'd love your text because here's the way I'm thinking about this. And I don't know the answer. I'd love to say, if I were the CEO, I would bring my people back. Because the problem is this. People are quitting. They're saying, we want to work remotely. And I think there are good reasons for it. One is that childcare is so expensive. Two is that commuting is not fun. Three is the fact that it's nice to just walk to your basement and log on to your computer and do your job. And four is that companies have managed to make going to work a chore. I think to a large degree, you know, if there's anyone to blame, it's not the worker. Don't blame the worker. It's understandable that people are saying, why would I want to go back to work? When I was at work, if I wanted to go to my kids' choir concert, I had to beg and grovel some manager to let me leave work early. So to a certain degree, like, the workplace is getting what they deserve. They made work feel like you're being surveilled by the manager. That said, our cities are very much the economic engine of our state. And if the workers don't come back, what happens to our cities? What is downtown Minneapolis if people come to work 2 days a week instead of five? If every company comes to work 2 days a week, and you think, like, oh, that's pretty good, people are coming in two times a week, that's 60% fewer people walking around downtown on a per visit basis.
And how many of those companies pitched, you know, tax breaks from those cities? Because they're going to, look, you're going to have all these people downtown, and you're going to have all these people, you know, that are coming and spending money in your city. Well, if they're not anymore, do you claw back some of those tax breaks?
If the city of Minneapolis gave Target Corporation a lot of tax breaks, for sure, to build those giant buildings downtown. The CEO of Target, I don't even think he's in this state right now. He's working remotely. Reminds me of the story about the Hennepin County Library Director. How about this guy? I know the county board's like, hey, we're happy. The library director's doing a great job. Everyone's working remotely. We don't care if this guy's in the county or not. I care. Wouldn't you care if you're some librarian hauling your butt to work and the CEO's out of town? I think you would care.
He's in Los Angeles, directing the Hennepin County Library, and up for, he's a finalist for a job in Seattle.
Sure, sure.
So, you know. So
obviously it's amazing.
Working out well for him.
Can't find a better human, I guess. I don't know. Like, I like that my boss at the TV station, Carrie Patey, shows her butt up to work. I appreciate it. We're all concerned about everyone's working at home. What about the people who show up? So I'm grateful for that I see her at work. It means a lot. It's very supportive, I think, to those of us who are at work. Now, I know a lot of texters are saying, what about crime? Crime, 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 crime. Why is there crime downtown? Because no one's here. If the people came back, I think the crime would go down. I really do. I know these companies care about the community. They're spending money on naming rights. They're donating to nonprofits. But I wonder if in this moment they are afraid, because they're worried they're going to lose their people if they force them to come back. It's tough. I don't know the answer, but I do know that we're never going to get things moving again until people start coming back downtown. It's 217. I appreciate all your texts. They're really great. We have some breaking news about the Supreme Court that we want to talk about next. One of the justices stepping down. Could a Minnesota native be in the conversation for the next Supreme Court justice? We'll talk about it next on News Talk 830 WCCO. 221, News Talk 830 WCCO, Jason DeRussia, in for Chad Hartman. News today that Stephen Breyer is going to retire. Joe Biden talked about it today at the White House. The president praising the retiring Supreme Court justice. But obviously, this is something that many liberals have been urging Stephen Breyer to step down, because Democrats, even though it's a 50-50 situation, are in control of the Congress. And Republicans have been very skillful at, and depending on your perspective, they're either very skillful at delaying judicial appointments from Democrats, or they're, you know, derelicts of responsibility in being so slow in dragging their feet on these things. Either way, certainly with Democrats in control of the Congress, the pressure was on Stephen Breyer to step down. Joe Biden, the president, saying today that he will nominate the first black woman Supreme Court justice. One of the names in the conversation is a Minnesota native. Well, not a Minnesota native. I shouldn't say that. But Wilhelmina Wright was a Ramsey County judge when she started out, kind of worked her way up as a district court judge, appellate court judge. Quite a an incredible resume in Minnesota. Rick Petrie is an adjunct affiliated professor at Mitchell Hamlin School of Law. He's the director of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Rick, thanks for being with us here on CCO.
Sure. It's always a pleasure to join these conversations.
Well, first of all, I know that Mitchell Hamlin School of Law, the professors there very much know many of the kind of big names in the judicial system in Minnesota. Do you know Judge Wright at all?
I do. I had the pleasure of appearing before her. I also clerked for a judge at the Court of Appeals, Jim Randall, who was one of the original members of the Minnesota Court of Appeals. And as a result of that relationship, he personally introduced me to Judge Wright.
What are your thoughts as far as her being in the conversation here? You know, we've seen different lists of different judges who are possible candidates, but Judge Wright has an incredible resume through the federal system, really, as well.
Yeah, I think she would be an ideal candidate to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. She's looking back at her education, Yale undergrad, Harvard Law, perfect pedigree. She is extremely well respected as a jurist, both when she was served on the state side. She worked her way up from a district court judge to the Court of Appeals, and now serving on the federal bench. So she's been around serving as a judge in various capacities for quite some time, and I think that helps you to become a good justice on the Supreme Court because you understand very well what has happened in the lower courts, and that's a big part of the job of serving on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I think people have this idea, and I don't know if it's worse than it's ever been, but definitely when you read polling asking America how we feel about the Supreme Court, it's sort of sad. I feel like people think that these are just partisan hacks, you know, that the liberals are going to go one way, the conservatives will go another. But the truth is, most of the cases that make it to the Supreme Court are tough cases. It's not necessarily that these folks are just kind of doing the bidding of their party. That's not really, at least that's not my impression of these justices.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. And that's part of the reason why these are lifetime appointments. All the federal judges, the district court judges, the Article III judges, the Court of Appeals judges, and obviously the Supreme Court justices, that's the reason that they have those lifetime appointments, to take some of that political wrangling out. And you're right, the U.S. Supreme Court only takes cases that it chooses to take. And that criteria is based on, would this be a good case for us to decide this particular issue, knowing that the outcome of this case would have an effect across the whole country? And I think Judge Wilhelmina Wright would be absolutely perfect to serve in that capacity.
Let me ask you about just the theory of the fact that President Biden has said, I'm going to nominate a black woman. Some of our listeners I know, because they've texted and said, well, why even say that? Why not just say, I'm going to search for the best judge? Is there value in specifically looking for a black woman to be on the Supreme Court?
I think the answer to that is yes. And I also think it's a fair question, even though some might say, ah, gosh, do we have to talk about that? But I think it's important that we do have these conversations, and here's why. If the U.S. Supreme Court is going to do what I said that it does earlier, which is make decisions that affect the entire United States, then I think it's really important that the people sitting in those positions to make those decisions are representative of the entire United States. And we have never had an African-American woman serve in that capacity. I think having the right African-American woman serve in that capacity is extremely important, because I think it adds another perspective to the court that has never been there. And so I think I understand what you're saying. You know, why do you have to go there? Why not just say, I'm going to pick the best judge? I get it. But in this case, at this time, that may be a wise choice.
Yeah. So I wonder if the issue is more the framing. So I think it's very reasonable to say, got to pick a black woman, because there are dozens of black women in the legal field, probably hundreds, who would be phenomenal. This is not a job where you look and say, this is the person. Most jobs, there's not one person, right? There are a host of people who are qualified. And so to me, it's more of a reality where you say, like, well, why hasn't this happened before? Perhaps there's some kind of, you know, the fact that the upper echelons of the legal world, like the upper echelons of corporate America and professional sports, it tends to be a deal of who you know. And so it tends to be a lot of white guys. Like, it makes sense to have a black woman. Not that I necessarily expect a black woman on the Supreme Court to be the representative for all black women, but there are black women at the absolute top of the judicial profession who deserve a crack at the Supreme Court.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the issues that you raise is a threshold issue, right? It's like you have to meet a certain threshold in order to even be considered in that conversation. Mm. At least one would think so.
Yeah.
Now, we could look back.
And the names we've seen are all just absolute knockouts of qualification, right?
Right. And so once you enter the conversation and you meet that threshold, then it's a whole different set of considerations to be thought about, okay, who would be the ideal person to fill that role? Looking again at where we're at as a country, right?
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way you say that is really smart, because you have the threshold and you're going to have a big bucket of people in there. And then factors of symbolism, of messaging, of representation, all those things become legitimate differentiators, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think in this particular role, you want someone who's not so far one way or another way, but somebody that is going to actually do what a judge is supposed to do and serve as a neutral and look at things as they are, as they're presented in the case, and decide it based on the law and what's best for the country. That's what we need in this person.
Rick, since we have you with us, I wonder if you could just share a little bit about the work you're doing, because I think what you're doing over there at Mitchell Hamlin goes to this same issue of trying to make sure that all sorts of Minnesotans, people from Wisconsin, all over America, know that there is a place for them in the legal profession.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we're doing is we are creating opportunities. We sit in a kind of a unique situation, because we literally have students from all over the U.S. and even some from some other countries that all attend our school. Part of my role is to create opportunities for each one of those students, no matter where they come from, no matter what they look like, no matter what their ideology is, to have an opportunity to enter and make a meaningful contribution in the legal profession. Now, that's easier said than done. It's even easier said than done inside the classroom. And so one of the things that we're doing is we're creating what we call situational learning opportunities, so that our faculty can have some of these tough conversations that, you know, people have tried to have in the past, and sometimes they go okay, other times they turn into just a disaster. So we're teaching our faculty how they can have those conversations and allow people, no matter what their political perspective may be, no matter the background, no matter any of that stuff, we can have a robust conversation about these legal issues in a way that allows everybody to walk away saying, wow, I never thought about that before, yeah, because that's really important that they, you know, people be able to understand these different perspectives. That's what makes good lawyers, and that's also what makes good jurors.
Rick Petrie is the director of diversity, equity, and inclusion at Mitchell Hamlin School of Law, sharing some insight about Wilhelmina Wright. We appreciate your time, Rick. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation. Talk to you again soon.
All right. Very good. You know, we love to see Minnesotans succeed, and it would be great. Wilhelmina Wright is sitting in U.S. federal court right here in St. Paul. Love to see her get a chance. And one of the texters points out, what about, you know, there are Asians and Hispanics and Native Americans. Why not them? And yes, why not all of them? Right.
That's just it. I mean, you know, we have a Latina that's sitting on the court now. But yeah, I mean, why not represent all of them? But you can only pick one.
You can only pick one
at a time.
There are only so many openings. But it is, I think, you know, we're seeing more of these conversations. And I know for some people, it's uncomfortable to just say, like, hey, I will say, like, of all these sports reporters who are at this general manager announcement today, the fact that no one asked the new general manager if he had any thoughts about being a black man in that top job, to me indicates, like, people have a tough time talking about this
stuff.
They do. And it shouldn't be that tough to talk about. It's okay to talk about representation. It's important to talk about race. And I think sometimes our unwillingness to talk about it, not sometimes. I think it always hurts us. We can disagree about it. We don't know. We don't all have the answers, that's for sure. I sure don't. But I do think we have to talk about these things. And should there be a black woman on the Supreme Court? Yeah. Yes, there are plenty of qualified black women. They're probably overqualified for the Supreme Court, to be honest. And certainly the Honorable Wright in the District of Minnesota is one of those women. It's 2:34. We're going to check weather. Oh, and I have some more nonsense coming up. I guarantee you that. We're going to talk about what restaurant. Cue it up on the text line. What are the restaurants that you miss the most? A new definitive list of closed restaurants that people miss the most. We'll talk about that coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.